the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Friday morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. You know, back when we ran our promo giveaway in February, we started to really bump up our sharing on our Instagram. So here's a quick reminder that we are on Twitter and Facebook, but if you're an Instagrammer, check us out at agnetwest.com for more agriculture updates. All right, let's get into today's program headlines. Brian German is talking with us about the new Wolfskill walnut variety and how it's receiving keen industry interest. Taylor Hillman has details on a recent FDA report which labeled E. coli as a foreseeable hazard and why that may understate a complex situation. And I'm starting off today's show with the governor's regional declaration of drought here in some California counties. Let's jump right in. After many pleas from legislators, the governor responded to the drought conditions here in California. But rather than declaring an entire state of emergency, yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom declared regional drought emergencies for the Russian River watershed in Sonoma and Mendocino counties. According to the governor, these actions were taken as the reservoirs are at record lows, which could pose risks to public health, safety, and the environment. In a press release, the governor stated, quote, California is facing the familiar reality of drought conditions, and we know the importance of acting early to anticipate and mitigate the most severe impacts where possible. He added, climate change is intensifying both the frequency and the severity of dry periods. This new normal gives urgency to building drought resilience in regions across the state and preparing for what may be a prolonged drought at our doorstep. Legislators familiar with the fight for water took to Twitter after the governor's announcement. Senator Andreas Borges, who's chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, said the Central Valley can't be overlooked. And Congressman David Valadeo called the announcement, quote, irresponsible, adding, quote, our communities are crippled by water scarcity and the lack of action by the governor. To stay updated on drought conditions, the state's responses, and resources for the public, visit the state's website at waterresilience.ca.gov. Stay tuned to AgNet West and this radio station as we continue to cover this topic. But for now, here is Taylor Hillman with more agriculture news.
Today's specialty crop news from AgNet West. A recent report regarding E. coli outbreaks may have understated a very complex situation. As AgNet West reported last week, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration released a summarizing report of E. coli outbreaks over the last few years. The report stated that all of the events traced back to neighboring livestock operations as the source of the contamination. The FDA called these incidents reasonably foreseeable hazards.
The response to that statement is, you know, if it's in a reasonable foreseeable hazard, it would be something that we could certainly mitigate for, and we would certainly be able to discover, but that's not what we're dealing with at this point.
The majority of leafy green producing areas in the U.S. are along the California coast and Yuma, Arizona. Both regions also have healthy livestock production. Monterey County Farm Bureau Executive Director Norm Groot said more information is needed before this becomes a foreseeable situation.
We're dealing with some really random situations that do not have any cause and effect. And I don't think that the FDA did enough to say that this is really a perplexing situation at this point. And it needs a lot more research, and it needs a lot more discussion amongst people on both sides of the fence, whether they're growers or ranch hands, to make sure that we're working through this process. So I think this is a rather broad assumption that this is a what they're calling a reasonable foreseeable hazard, because if it had been the case, then we would have solved the problem a long time ago.
Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
The new Wolfskill walnut variety appears to be garnering quite a bit of attention from California growers. Developed through more than 10 years of research at UC Davis, the new walnut variety is said to hold considerable promise for the industry. President and CEO of Duarte Nursery, John Duarte, said they've received numerous calls from growers who are excited about the opportunity to try out a new variety in their operation.
When there's a new variety released from the University of California, we get allocated a very small amount of budwood. So we've gotten Wolfskill in our hand, like many other nurseries do also. We've made a license agreement with the University of California to pay a royalty on the new variety. Don't ask me what the royalty amount is. It'll probably be a dollar or two. And growers are calling and asking to get some budwood, not because they want to make a major commitment to a new variety right now, but they just want to get it planted, grafted into their own blocks, and start to look at it and get familiar with it. Walnuts can have great quality attributes. They can have great production. They can look really good in test blocks. But anytime you put out new genetics into the environment, in production systems, we still learn a lot about them. So many of the progressive growers are looking to get some Wolfskill budwood in their hands. It'll probably be next spring before we can get them a few hundred buds for trial plantings. But there's definitely keen industry interest in it, and it needs to be tested out in the industry for a few years before we fully understand its ups and downs.
For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Rana Wiseman, when we return. Don't forget, if you've missed any of today's reports or simply want to re-listen to them, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan told lawmakers the agency would not go back to the Obama-era definitions of waters of the United States. Regan made the comments as part of the 2022 budget request for EPA during a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing. Regan told lawmakers, quote, "We don't have any intention of going back to the original Obama waters of the U.S. verbatim," unquote. The statement was in response to questions from two Republican members of the subcommittee. Regan pledged to begin a stakeholder engagement process, including agriculture and environmental groups, to find a way to move forward. Specifically, in a way, Regan says, quote, "where we don't overburden the small farmer, but we also balance the protection of our wetlands. I think we can do it," unquote. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Now for more local news, here's Brian German.
A new tool has the ability to quickly identify meat and fish products, which will help combat the issue of fraud within the industry. Researchers from the University of Texas Austin have found the handheld mass spec pen can be a valuable resource for meat analysis and investigating meat fraud. Their findings were recently published in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry. Initially developed to identify cancerous tissues in humans, the tool can also identify common types of meat and fish in approximately 15 seconds. The mass spec pen proved to be between 84 and 100% accurate when compared to other standard testing methods, which can take hours or days to produce a result. Issues of meat and fish fraud is a global concern, costing consumers billions of dollars every year. Mislabeling also creates safety issues for individuals with allergies. The researchers have indicated the mass spec pen could be deployed in combination with other testing protocols for on-site meat authentication. For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Well, in today's livestock news, this week the Dairy Pride Act, a bill that would bring clear, accurate labeling information for consumers and end harmful mislabeling of dairy foods by peddlers of plant-based products, was reintroduced in both the U.S. House and Senate. The legislation requires FDA to enforce its own existing standards of identity on imitation dairy products after decades of inaction. The National Milk Producers Federation commended the reintroduction of the bill, noting the Dairy Pride Act directs FDA to follow its own rules and establish an agency approach for enforcement of existing dairy standards of identity. NMPF President and CEO Jim Mulhern said the reintroduction of the act helps NMPF and consumers continue to move forward towards solving this critical public health and fairness issue. For more information on NMPF's efforts on this issue, go to their website, nmpf.org. Well, there's been tremendous momentum for U.S. pork products over in Central America. With more on that story, here's Joe Sheely.
Despite COVID-related challenges, U.S. pork exports to Central America are moving at a record pace. U.S. Meat Export Federation Regional Representative Lucia Ruano has more details in this USMEF report.
All the countries had very restricted curfews, and all the hotels and restaurants shut down. So people had to start new ways of promoting and selling products. Demand increased in retail stores. Importers started to change the channel of distributing, opening meat boutiques to keep all the food service industry business that they lost. USMEF started working through social media, giving a lot of educational information about our products, especially the loin cuts. As we know, the picnic shoulder, trimmings, hams are used for processed products. So we have been doing a lot of webinars, the live streaming webinars, also face-to-face seminars that educate the consumers how to cook properly the loin cuts and how they can use it as another option of center of the plate. And we did a radio campaign for 3 months in all the countries of the region. It was very successful. We had a lot of people contacting us about the pork information and where they can buy it.
Improved market access and domestic production challenges have also increased opportunities for U.S. pork.
Countries like Costa Rica, we have started to receive the benefits of the CAFTA. And this year we have 10% tariff only. There will be 0% on 2023. Other countries like Honduras has been a strong importer for a long time of U.S. pork. We had two hurricanes in November. The more affected area was Honduras, and the farms where they raised the pigs were damaged. So repopulating the sauce herd will take them a little bit of time.
For more information, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
Thanks, Joe, and I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Thanks, Randall. And USDA is seeking comments on food system supply chains. The Department of Agriculture seeks comments on a department-wide effort to improve and reimagine food supply chains. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced the comment period on Wednesday as part of a response to an executive order signed by President Joe Biden back in February. The comments received will help USDA assess the critical factors, risks, and strategies needed to support resilient, diverse, and secure supply chains. USDA says such supply chains are needed to address conditions that can reduce critical processing and infrastructure capacity and the availability and integrity of critical goods, products, and services. Identifying food system supply chain bottlenecks and vulnerabilities also may provide valuable insight into the competitive and fair markets landscape, effects on local and regional producers and processors, and equitable access to food and economic opportunity across diverse communities. Vilsack said, quote, USDA plans to tackle this supply chain assessment holistically, looking across a full range of risks and opportunities. The deadline to submit a comment is May 21st. Submissions can be made by visiting www.regulations.gov. NAFB contributed to this report. It's that time again where we head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Neal. Today I'm chatting with the creators of Fresh Vintage Farms, which produce almond and walnut oil. In this first portion of my chat with the owners, you hear us talk about how the business got started and the characteristics of the oils. Let's get to it. All right, first off, you guys, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Tommy Tikhonov. My wife's sitting next to me. Her name is Tara Tikhonov. She is the founder of Fresh Vintage Farms. I am the chief executive husband on board, which means I do anything and everything she asks of me. We started the company last year, and we're about, 13 months in, all in all? And yeah, official title, she's founder, CEO, and I am jack of all trades.
Hey, I like that. You got it. All right. Well, now that you gave me a short introduction, I'd like for you guys to just sort of brag about yourself, if you will, but give me a bit more history about you guys and the company that you have started, and if you have any other ties to the agriculture industry.
Okay. So my wife is third generation in ag. Her grandparents were almond farmers. Dad farmed almonds for a little while. And then she worked for a developing company, real estate developer for many years before her and I met and we'll say combined forces. Myself, I've been in agriculture for 14, 15 years now. I worked on an almond ranch for a while, farmed walnuts as well. About 11 years ago, I got into the marketing side of the business. So I traded commodities, mainly almonds. I did domestic business, export. I was always representing growers, packers, and shippers. And I've done everything from edible almonds to bird feed, and then got into pressing almonds. A couple of years ago, I got a hold of a cold press, and this is how we got started with Fresh Vintage Farms. It was actually a part of an aquaculture project, interesting enough. We were pressing commodities to extract oil to make a high-protein fish meal. And as that project was going on, it wasn't something that I was passionate about in the fish food market, but I did experiment with the machine with pressing almonds and pressing walnuts. It was a food grade machine, stainless steel. And so I was farting around with pressing almonds and using the oil at home to cook with. It was excellent. We tried it with some family and friends. And as things would progress, like, wow, there's nobody out there selling a true cold pressed almond or a cold pressed walnut oil. In fact, most of the oils, as we looked into it, were made with expellers that press at 500 degrees. And then they usually refine, and still call their product, quote unquote, an almond or a walnut oil. So we realized that we had this superior product on our hands that nobody was marketing. So we said, well, I guess we have to charge ourselves with taking this to the consumers. So it took about, I'd say, 5 or 6 months to come up with a name, come up with a unique bottle that was differentiated from olive oil. We still find people, you know, when they're talking about our company, to say olive oil because it rolls off the tongue so naturally. You know, olive oil is predominantly used. But so we've had an absolute blast over the last 14 months, getting new customers, meeting people, kind of developing recipes with people, you know, influencers as well as restaurant chefs. And in fact, we live in Turlock. I was just downtown Turlock at First and Main, and the head chef, we just gave a bottle of our walnut oil to last week. And he was telling me, he flagged me down at lunch. He's like, hey, I made a vinaigrette with it. It was great. This and this and this. So it's like, we're still, you know, excited to see all the new recipes and concoctions that everybody's coming up with the oils. So it's been so much fun. We're loving it. We're in over 180 retail locations right now. Yeah, my wife's sitting here. Our baby Lakin just woke up, so he's sitting next to us too. So, but yeah, we're growing. We've never been, we'll say, a consumer brand or a consumer people branded people before. So this is our first soiree into retail, but we're enjoying it. All of our retailers have been super supportive, not only because we're a small startup, but also because we're an innovative product and everybody's really happy to bring in something that their customers appreciate and are finding new. So it's been great. And we're steadily growing, hiring new people to help represent the brand and get the good word out. So we're enjoying it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What I thought was really neat about you guys, and just as you were explaining it there, it's not conventional in the sense that it's not your typical olive oil. It's not your typical vegetable or canola oil, but you can use it in somewhat of the same sense. It's got a different heat level or a smoke level there. So tell me a little bit more about the components of this unique. Well, you have both almond oil and walnut oil.
Yeah. And so the characteristics are both. They really complement each other well. So starting with the almond oil, it's got a mild flavor. So we lightly roast the nuts before we use it through the cold press, and it just brings out the aroma and the flavor a little bit more. It doesn't change the nutrient level or the content there in, but the almond oil has a medium to high smoke point. It falls into the spectrum of a high smoke point, but it's not a coconut oil that can get 500 or 600 degrees. So it's got about a 420 degree smoke point, which makes it really versatile in both baking and then both barbecue applications and frying. So a lot of our we'll say early adopters have been, you know, cast iron barbecue chefs, Traeger guys that'll put something on the smoker and then they'll bring it in and sear it in cast iron. And so you can still have the subtle amount of flavor and it doesn't burn at all. So again, a very versatile oil. We're very biased and we love it in everything. My favorite is the almond and my wife's favorite is the walnut. So the walnut oil, in contrast to the almond oil, has a medium smoke point. It's got a little bit more of a pronounced flavor. We're finding that walnut oil is a more recognized oil amongst the consumer base just because it's kind of been around longer. People historically have seen almond oil as a cosmetic, as a moisturizing oil. And the reason for that is the almond oil they're used to is an expeller press and refined oil. So they, you know, typically a manufacturer would use, you know, past their code date, past their life almonds, so to speak, that are, you know, getting rancid and they're getting kind of a pungent taste to them. So they press them with an expeller at 500 degrees and they refine, and they still put out a product that they call quote unquote almond oil. Whereas our cold press is between 120 and 140 degrees and doesn't denature any of the flavor, aroma, or nutrients in there. So, you know, the walnut we just released about 6 weeks ago, and we've had a tremendous response to it. It's been almost a 1 + 1 = 3 that, you know, they've fed off each other from a sales standpoint. People are more familiar with walnut, so they're more apt to buy it and almost draws their attention to the almond oil. And for us, our retailers have said, hey, we'd love telling this story. We love the product, which, you know, is just tickling to us. We're thrilled. Of our 180 locations, we just got taken on into Save Mart. We're in some high-end markets down in Southern California and then over on the coast. But we primarily target more of a fruit stand, farmers market, specialty shop kind of location. Those people have been so great to work with and they help tell the story of our product and of our brand, but also it's just been an ability of them to talk to their consumers. You know, if you go to a grocery store, you're not going to really talk to the clerk about the products on their shelves. But if you're in a specialty store, you know, they can kind of be our brand crusaders out there. And it's been really fun. Everybody's been super supportive and we've just loved forging relationships with all these people.
Stay tuned to Agnet West for part two of my interview with the Fresh Vintage Farms as we talk more about trends and diversity in the nut markets. But right now it is time for us to head out for a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Agriculture groups responded most positively to the Growing Climate Solutions Act, sponsored by Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow and Indiana Republican Senator Mike Braun. The act establishes a Department of Agriculture technical assistance and certification program to assist producers and forest owners seeking to participate in voluntary carbon markets. Additionally, the bill would establish an advisory committee to make recommendations to Congress and the Department of Agriculture. The Food and Agriculture Climate Alliance applauded the bill's introduction. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval says, quote, "This bill is evidence lawmakers can come together in a bipartisan manner to find solutions to environmental challenges while respecting the role of farmers and ranchers," unquote. And National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue says, quote, "By creating a certification program, the Growing Climate Solutions Act would bring much needed clarity and certainty," unquote. Senator Tammy Baldwin, chair of the Senate Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee, introduced bipartisan legislation to extend more relief to farmers and small businesses. The PPP Flexibility for Farmers, Ranchers, and Self-Employed Act offers changes to the Paycheck Protection Program. The bill includes a legislative fix authored by Senator Baldwin that would make critical changes to PPP loan calculations to allow self-employed farmers and ranchers to apply for more generous PPP loans based on their gross income retroactively. Under Baldwin's legislation, any self-employed farmer, even those who already received a PPP loan based on their net income and got it forgiven, could now get a loan for the difference between the gross and the net income loan amounts. Baldwin says of the legislation, quote, "Farmers will now have an opportunity to receive an increased benefit with more generous loans," unquote. Two other Democrats and four Republicans joined Baldwin in introducing the bill. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. And now for more local news, here's Brian German.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is looking for public comment to help guide the development of a new rural renewable energy pilot program. A total of $10 million has been provided by the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021 for USDA to develop a program supporting rural communities' efforts to expand renewable energy. The new program seeks to address American energy needs while also combating issues of climate change and providing economic opportunities in rural areas. The request for information is intended to help guide the new program's development. Public comment is being sought on topics including purposes for the new program, as well as eligibility for participants and technologies. Interested parties, including potential customers and other stakeholders, are being encouraged to participate in the public comment period. Written comments will need to be submitted through the federal e-rulemaking portal by April 29th. For Agnet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgnetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgnetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.